us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Tila Page, Justin Tyler, and Salva!
What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man! Oh, my goodness, you guys. Big show. But first, Justin, congratulations on the part in Once, the musical. I'm really proud of you.
You guys like Broadway humor. I was dressing like the
hobo?
The sheriff in the old Western town that gets killed in the first, like, 10 minutes of a movie.
We'll have to see what happens in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to get murdered.
Can't wait.
There's nothing wrong with a vest.
So I don't know about you guys, but I went to see Avengers for the second time in the theaters this weekend.
Yeah.
That movie seems to be doing okay.
Yeah.
I think pretty much okay.
Went back twice, though.
Do all movies make $1 billion? Right? How much money is that?
One guy being like, woo!
Yeah.
Maybe. Yep.
And that's the writer-creator of The Vow.
That also made
$1 billion, I think.
It was so cute.
Great.
In the movie theater next to me, a kid wearing Avengers t-shirt, screaming at everything going on, saying all the lines a second before it. I think he was like 40 or 50 years old.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was you? That was you?
40 or 50 years old?
I don't know. It's really the lights.
You don't know me at all.
The lights. You know. You look great.
Oh, thanks so much.
Pete looks great.
Enjoy Once.
How do I look?
Huh?
How do I look?
An absolute mess.
Thanks.
Yeah, no good.
Hey, we should start the show.
We should start it because we have two amazing guests for you guys today. One is the writer and creator of Image Comics 27. The other one you probably recognize as the food vendor from the Olsen Twins New York Minute. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Soule and John Benjamin. Thank you guys so much for coming on the
show. Definitely show off your brands.
Very excited to have you guys here.
What's up, nerds?
Yeah!
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not self-hating these nerds.
Sorry
about
that.
Not self-hating at all. Charles, let's chat with you first. So 27, second set. Do we have a copy of it? Yes, we do. 27, second set.
That is 27, first set. 27, second set is, that's the cover of it.
It's much shorter.
It's actually very thin.
Much less of a story.
Yes. I don't have my comms yet.
How do you find your ideas?
It's just one at a time. All I need is one picture to tell a story.
So for those people who don't know what 27 is, I love this book. I think it's great.
Thank you.
It's one of those concepts that you read it and think, oh, of course this works. It's so simple, but you really explore it in such a nice way. What's the idea of the book for people who don't know?
The main idea of 27 is that there are a bunch of rock stars who died at age 27 over the decades. You've got, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse just died this past summer. And the idea and the story is that...
Thank you for not cheering.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. It's a book about death, young death, the most exciting topic in the world. So basically, the idea in the book is that that's like a black magic curse that has hit these people. The main character is a rock star, famous guitarist who turns 27, gets hit by that curse, and he's got to try and beat it. He goes through this sort of odyssey to learn what it is, understand it, and keep rocking out and playing super kick-ass rock shows. So...
Could you tell us a current rock star that will die at 27? Justin Bieber.
Well, he's got, what, like 15 years to go?
We're going to get to enjoy several more albums.
Yeah, I think so. Somebody posted on my Facebook recently that Adele had just turned 27, and I was like, dude, that's super grim. I mean, she's awesome.
Time to suit up.
There's third set. That's the problem with the premise is that, you know, in order for it to really keep going, I just have to keep rooting for these great, super talented people just to die.
Yikes.
So, you know, I am rooting for them. And, you know, we'll see. Amy Winehouse died over San Diego Comic-Con weekend last summer, which was perfect timing. I sent a thank you note to her dad.
That's fucked up.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Too soon, yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Too late.
All these people were at the funeral, so it's sort of fucked up to say that.
Yeah. Amy Winehouse's ghost is our guest next week, so that's really inappropriate.
I hope we can get her.
Yeah. I hope we can. The thing that I think is so interesting about this book is your main character is such a dick.
Yeah.
So it's just like a complete horrible dick. Is there any sort of redemption arc for him whatsoever? Is he just always going to be this heinous, horrible person?
Well, I would like to say that's overstating it just a tiny bit. He is a rock star, and he is an entitled guy who thinks that he has deserves all of his fame, and he's super special, and he's brilliant, and so on and so forth. And so I wanted to write a character who actually was super entitled and felt like the world owed him all these things. And then when those things start to be taken away because of this 27 curse, he kind of can't handle it because it's the first time he's ever had to really like struggle and fight for things. And it's also kind of fun to write like a guy who's just a dick to everybody around him because he thinks he's better because he's a sweet guitarist, which is valid.
Yeah.
So you have a 27 second set. The trade is coming out soon.
The trade is out. I think this airs on Tuesdays or Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Wednesdays.
Worry about the timeline.
It is moments after you watch this, you can go buy it. Basically, it's out very soon.
Wow. Cool. And is there going to be a third set?
Third set is planned. Is in the works. We're probably going to take a little bit of a break before we put it out, just because there's so many other amazing stories to tell. But I definitely would very much like to finish 27 up. So.
Cool. Nice. And the other thing you're working on, Strange Attractors for Archaea.
Yeah. Strange Attractors is going to be out this fall. It is a New York City book. New York City. Anybody here from New York City? Yeah. Woo! New York City.
I don't know that place.
Yeah. It's around.
It's a book written for audience members sitting in a bar in New York City.
Yeah.
It's targeted towards audience in particular.
Really the premise of the book is basically that this old sort of disgraced mathematician, which is what everybody wants to read about, right? Old disgraced mathematician.
How would a mathematician get disgraced? Too many remainders.
His theories were too out there. So he basically figures out how to turn New York City into an engine. Like all of its systems and pieces and parts and things like that. And it's about kind of what happens when he turns the key and turns it on. So that Strange Attractors is going to be super incredibly sweet. One of the artists from that book is actually here, Robert Sawitz, somewhere. Rob?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Give him a round of
everybody,
applause.
Nice.
Yeah, way in the back. He's shy. But that's out in the fall. It's going to be amazing. Definitely look for it. And 27 Seconds Set. I think they're both pretty solid stories.
Nice.
Great. John, let's turn to you. Let's chat with you for a little bit. First of all...
I'd rather not.
Charles, back to you.
He's here to observe.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, Charles, what's going on with you?
I'd like to hear what John has to say about
I'm just here to protect
me.
Charles.
All right, I guess we'll turn it back to John. Let's first talk about Bob's Burgers that got picked up for another season.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was on...
Half of you like it.
I'm not bragging because this was actually one of the most boring things in the world, but I was on the Fox
I just want to apologize for wearing my raincoat on.
You never know it can rain.
It's great. Inclement weather can hit you at any moment.
Yeah.
Be prepared. That's the watchword of Comic Book Club. So I was on the Fox programming call where they were announcing the schedule, and they could not stop talking about how excited they were about Bob's Burgers and really talking about how it was, for them, they felt like a labor of love where they really kept with it. From your perspective...
That sounds like a backhanded insult, right? Yeah.
It just wasn't working for so long, they kept talking about.
So you're on the Fox programming call just breathing heavily into the receiver?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, you're just like me.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
What's it been like on your end? Do you feel like the show is really finally ready to break out?
It depends what breakout means. I don't know.
Acne.
Like
you know?
Sort of an acne.
Oh, yeah, like hit puberty.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's ready to fuck.
Perfect.
I think that's the best way to describe
what
it.
What show do you think Bob's Burgers will fuck? If you could predict one. Like, what's Bob's Burgers taste in a
bones?
Show?
Bones? No.
Oh!
Thank you. I don't know.
Richard Dawson, very. Anybody?
That was one finger.
How old am I?
Okay. I couldn't get all fingers on it.
Yeah. Old enough to wear a vest.
Yeah. Bingo. Oh, shit.
I hope it is. I don't know, like, what it takes. I feel like it's not a show that could be like The Simpsons necessarily, but you never know. That's like, you know, one in a million, right? Well, not a million. But however many shows have been on television since that started, and you have to do the math. So it's one in whatever, probably estimate.
Any disgraced mathematicians in the house who can help us figure this out?
Want to figure that out?
Yeah.
No?
Not yet.
So I think it's building an audience. Like I think it was more popular this season than it was last, so that's good.
How far ahead in the schedule are? I imagine that you guys have already recorded a bunch of the episodes for next season.
We've done so far 16 episodes, 16 seasons. Sorry.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, they really like really laying down some tracks.
Yeah, we work every day, all day, and we've been doing that for the last...
And have the writers written the scripts, or you just say random words and they're going to sew them together?
Are you recording
they
it
They
right
record
now?
The words first, and then they piece together the scripts from the words.
That's smart. That's good.
So it's a more. It's definitely unusual for that. So they do have a bank of everything I say. I said a bunch of stuff for like a year and a half.
And
they'll cut and paste. So the editors work tirelessly putting all my words together with the other actors. And
so you don't have to like do much. You're just good.
Well, to keep
not anymore, but it was difficult for the first, yeah.
But like when a new word comes out, he has to say
right.
the new word.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the new word that just came out?
Let's see.
Flergable.
Yeah, that's a great hot word. Every Wednesday is new word day.
Right.
Did you ever say cowboy? Did you ever say cowboy?
I've said cow and boy, and I'm sure they put the two together.
That's how editing works.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
I guess. That's great.
I don't think I've ever said cowboy.
Now they got it.
No, don't share that with them. I don't get paid for that.
Let's talk about Archer a little bit.
Yeah.
Woo!
Thank you.
So I know this is pretty par for the course for animation, but I was totally floored when I heard that you guys all record that stuff separately because it really does, particularly for that show, feel so riffy and feel so much like you guys are playing off against each other.
Yeah.
How do you get that feeling?
How does it get like that?
Is it just through doing table reads? Is it just really getting the timing down? Or
no, it's like the polar opposite. They don't do any work at a time. it's like a really wonderful process to not. Yeah, they don't pay attention to detail at all. I personally never read the scripts before I go in and read them on mic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One take.
That's enough from you, by the way. I don't feel like turning like this anymore.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. So they. It's weird. I don't know how it comes together so well, but it does, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.
I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to put you. That's too much.
That
pressure.
Was pretty needy.
We'll just cut out your line and just have them cheer randomly in the middle of your
right.
sentence.
Yeah. I feel like I did that inappropriately.
How often do you get recognized just by your voice?
Very little, but I try all the time.
You're always
so
just really
I'm like constantly going up to people and you know talking like this right behind them. Yeah,
behind them.
Yeah,
you might try in front of them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying I would go. Yeah, I don't. I feel like
it's just a suggestion.
That's aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I've a couple times, but that's it's hard to do. I'm always surprised when somebody.
Yeah.
A couple people said you like. Oh, you sound like Archer, and. I'll say, can I have that for free or something?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And they'll be like, John Benjamin. Oh.
One of the things that I thought was interesting about the past season of Archer is it really started to mix in emotional stuff at the same time. I mean, the previous seasons have been really fun, really funny, but it really, particularly the heart of Archness thing, took the character down and made it much darker and much heavier and much more emotional. How did you play something like that, and was that something you were expecting?
Really poorly, I think. But I don't know. I had cancer, I remember, at one point, where I felt really terrible about playing it the way I did. For people who have cancer, I felt bad about that. But this was his reaction, so... it's harder to play like emotional. I've had to cry a couple times.
Have you done that before?
In real life?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. That's why I asked. Yeah.
No. I've held it in for
years.
For, yeah, 45 years.
Do you feel comfortable? Do it right now. Let it out.
I literally cried when I had to cry about the. I think my wife died in one of the episodes. And I had
I'm
to
glad you said in one of the episodes. Yeah, for a minute there, that got really dark.
Uh-oh.
No. My wife has cancer.
Nice.
No, my wife died in the show, and I had to cry in. But I had to, like, I started crying in the booth. You know, it's like it's not on tape.
Wait,
so.
Because your wife died, or
no? Come on, I was just keep kidding. Up. Stop it! Stop ruining it. So I had to cry, and I literally cried, but I can't prove it.
You should have saved the tears.
Yeah.
keep a tiny flask of tears. It's great.
Like, just see?
I would have to bring it in. Yeah. That would be the cue. To
have I cried?
Right
yes.
There.
You could walk up behind people and be like, see?
And just pour a tear on their cheek. Be like, John Benjamin was here. These and then you'll go to jail eventually.
These are my tears.
Yeah. This is good ideas. Before the show, we were talking a little bit about how you used to read comic books as a kid.
Yeah.
What did you read as a kid?
I think my favorite was Submariner.
Nice. Really? What did you like in particular about him?
I liked the way he looked.
Oh, yeah?
Shirtless.
Hey, take it easy. I liked...
Ankle wings. 20 years.
I guess.
How about the tiny scaled Speedo and the incredible six-pack abs and
now
the rippling... wait a minute.
Twinks. You know, like smaller... smaller guys. I don't like the big muscles. He was a good swimmer. Right. He was a swimmer.
Yeah,
I like swimmers.
Yeah. Where do you get a scaled Speedo nowadays? All the Speedos just... No one puts scales on
Did he have scales on a Speedo?
Yeah.
Namor does.
Oh, he did? It's
Atlantean, man.
And why?
But what? Yeah.
To protect the balls?
Because that was the style in the shop in Atlantis.
Yeah. Right. Namor's new bathing suit scales.
Right. What was his name? Prince of Namor.
Namor the Submariner.
Namor the Submariner, right.
Yeah. Now, you gave up comics. Why did you give up reading comics?
Well, it was a horrible accident.
Better get out those tears in your pocket.
The car burst into flames, and I don't know why. I don't have a good answer for that. I stopped because I started liking other stuff. Yeah. Like drugs.
We should try that.
Liking drugs?
We could finally get off of this show.
I found a way to combine drugs and comic books.
I mean, you can
allow me
do that.
To tell you about it.
Well, I mean, the big thing now is I can go back to them. Yeah, so it's been a long break.
You should check them out.
They miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big intervention. And your intervention tone sort of just took over here. It's okay. Do whatever you want.
Well, I think speaking of comic books we might want to recommend, let's move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
All right. In The Stack, we have each made a pick, some comic book that we particularly liked, and we're going to go to bat for it and recommend it to John. First comic book to talk about, Batman number 9.
Yeah!
And once you guys are done, I'll pass it over your way. Pete, what do you guys like about this comic?
Night of the Owls is an amazing thing that Scott Snyder is doing. Just keeps ramping up this, how is Batman going to make it out of this alive?
For those of you who aren't reading this, Batman is currently fighting a bunch of undead assassins who secretly control Gotham City called Owls. Well, they're actually called Talons, controlled by the Court of Owls.
But they wear owl hats.
Right. Well, not like trucker hats. They're hoods.
When you hear the word hat, you're like, trucker hat. Got it.
All I mean is
there are a
hat.
Ton of other hats
a hat only
there.
Covers the top of your head.
You guys
a hood covers your
really
head.
Got derailed very easily in that conversation.
No, that's all
Welcome
I got out of this
show.
Book. That's all I got out of this book is Batman hates hats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this, Justin?
I like this a lot. So these guys are all, the undead guys are very hard to kill because they're already dead.
Right.
And that puts Batman at a distinct disadvantage.
Yeah. The first half of this issue in particular is great. Really loved it a lot. Awesome action. If any of you guys have ever seen the Batcave, you know, he has like a giant penny in there and he has a dinosaur and other stuff. The Talons have him surrounded, and I don't remember exactly what they say. Basically, they're like, you're all alone. You've got nobody else. We're going to kill you, Batman. And he's like, well, not quite alone. And then the dinosaur stamps on them.
Yeah. The dinosaur comes
Spoiler.
Alive.
Well, he says, you know, you haven't met my watchdog yet, and when
the dinosaur.
It's pretty sweet.
I love comic books.
Have you been reading this?
What
I have. I've actually really been enjoying. I took a pretty long break from Batman, but I picked it up with the new 52, and I think Scott Snyder's been just killing it. I thought, and even Greg Capullo, his art style has really it's brought back some. Like the art from like Dark Knight Returns from back in the day.
Yeah.
I feel like particularly when Batman was like in the asylum and sort of in issues 4 and 5, it felt like he was in the asylum. It was amazingly sort of vivid and well done. So I've really, really been enjoying this more than even most of the new 52 stuff. This is probably one of my favorites for sure.
What do you think that giant penny's going to do?
Oh, man, can't wait. But what I really like is the end of each issue gives you such an amazing, like, oh, man, I can't wait. And, like, the last issue, it was like they were storming, the Wayne Manor, and you're like, oh, man, how's this going to turn out? And this one, just like Batman is so pissed off. I was like, he's going to kill everybody.
You love how angry he is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's so great. It's so enjoyable.
The other thing that I think is really good about this whole arc, the whole Owls thing, is that it's rewriting Batman's history, but in a way that doesn't seem totally forced, to me anyway. It seems like they've used the reboot in it. Yeah, they've used the reboot in a really good way, I think. So I think it's great.
Yeah. Good comic. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on with Justin's pick.
Oh, there's a new there's a new Lego ad on the front that's fucking awesome. And they have a new, I don't know if you guys, but get in on the action. So that's a new thing that they're doing, and I love it.
And that's great because Legos are almost completely inactive. Sure. Or at least they were when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
This is what he means. Check it out.
Don't fold it. It's artwork. Thank you.
You're killing Pete over there. Yes. All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which was Scarlet Spider, number 5 from Marvel Comics. Yeah!
New reader friendly.
Justin, defend yourself to this audience.
No.
Scarlet Spider.
So this is like Spider-Man. It's a clone of Spider-Man, but he's sort of a dick. And if that appeals to you, then this is like a real dicky Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I love that. No one else thinks that's awesome.
You're like, you know what I like about Spider-Man is positive attitude.
Yeah. Fuck that.
What do you think about this book, Pete?
It's really not that great. I do enjoy all the violence and his bad attitude, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But at one point, they're like, how are we going to find this bomb? And then Scott Spider's like, wait. I can talk to spiders.
That was awesome.
Luckily, around this nuclear bomb, ton of spiders just hanging out.
Well, they were like, something's weird about this bomb.
Well, spiders like nuclear bombs. That's how they get radioactive in the first place, man.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, they were going to bite a bunch of dudes and make a bunch of other Spider-Men.
Totally.
I love that point. And then the Scarlet Spider gets to the nuclear bomb. He's like, I don't know how to disarm it. He's like, well, we're going to die.
Yeah.
That's not a hero. That's a dick. Boom.
And then he just does the classic, I'll unplug the bomb.
He tears out of
saves the day. Yeah. Great comic, Justin.
It's good. It's different. He's in Texas. Like,
oh, man.
How many people fight crime in Texas? This Spider-Man does. And because there are no big buildings, he's riding on the top of cars.
So he's like Team Wolf.
And he takes his webs and he shoots them on cacti and pulls himself along on the ground on cacti.
It makes perfect sense. I love that the cop's like, well, we got to find this bomb. He's like, well, I'll stand on the top of the car and you just drive there as fast as possible.
There's no other way to get anywhere in a car. It's impossible. There's no other way to go anywhere with a car.
I know you're a superhero, but just ride in the passenger seat, bro. Like, there's no real harm in that.
Speaking of cars, there's a really good Civic ad in here. I don't know if you guys checked it out. But, put less in, get more out!
I
love that about the Civic and about the ad.
There have been a lot of car ads in comic books lately. Have you guys noticed this?
Yeah.
Who's buying those cars? That makes me less interested in that car if they're like...
Well, you think comic book people don't buy cars? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
How are they going to get to the comic book store?
Yeah. Huh?
Well, they're going to ride on the top of the car, that's for sure.
Yeah. Boom.
I just pay the cab and I'm like, here, take me to the comic book store. I'm on top.
No.
Yeah. That's
all right. Let's move on. This is my pick: Alabaster Wolves,
yeah.
Number two.
Well,
I love it.
Yep. Thanks, Pete.
Cool.
We talked about this book a little bit last week. For those of you who aren't picking up, which is all of you apparently, it's a little Check tough to out. Explain, but it's basically this albino girl in a post-apocalyptic world where monsters have taken over is going around killing mainly werewolves, but there's tons of other insane beasties that are trying to attack her. Right. The thing that I think makes this so cool is things just do not get better for her. You know, usually it's like, yeah, super strong chick killing people. She gets hurt, and she just gets more and more and more hurt, and things get worse and worse. The sense of danger just gets ramped up immeasurably for this book. I also think the art is really great, and the character designs are really inventive. Pete, you also like this book.
Yeah, I love this book. It's just a really original story. It's not very superhero-y. It's just the story of this kind of girl in this horrible situation, and against all odds, she's still doing good and doing the right thing. And it's a crazy kind of world, but the heart of this story is really amazing, and it's an incredible read.
Justin, what do you think?
I didn't quite connect with this girl quite as much as you guys did. Very emotional.
Wait, you got something against albino people? Is
yes. I hate albinos. Wow. I've always said that. It's a strong
We're much
stance.
Paler than you are.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why. I don't understand how you can be that pale. This comic, she's fighting werewolves, but she beats the big bad werewolf by tripping it.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
No. I didn't. I was sort of like, oh, I guess that's what I would have tried in that position. But I'm not like a superhero.
Right. Either she. That's why she tripped him.
Oh. She does a lot of superheroic stuff.
Well, she can, you know. But why stab all the time when you can trip?
Hey.
Yeah, that's a good option.
I've seen your tattoo. That
Charles, have you read Alabaster Wolves at all?
I have not. You know, I feel like I'm pretty up on the titles, and I have not even heard of it, which I'm ashamed of.
You should be.
I guess so. I guess so, and I am. I'm terribly ashamed. I have nothing against albinos. I think they're fine. Odd, but fine.
Good, yeah. Get on board with our anti-albino stance.
I just go with the flow. It seems like the majority hates albinos, so I do too.
Nice. Great.
You should
That won't get
series.
Any of us into trouble.
Yeah. You should write a series where a bunch of albinos are dying. And then
you know what? I'll turn it on its head. I'll make the albinos, like, you know, they take over the whole world, and then it's all sunscreen for everyone all the time. Because they can't be out in the sun much, you know, because they get... All right.
We've all seen powder.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has seen powder. If you haven't, come over to my house after
Powder's
this.
Powder's airing heavily
powder.
On HBO 2 right now, if Is anyone's it? Interested. Yeah, heavy airing schedule.
You really have a lot of free time during the day.
Well. There's so many different channels, and Powder is as close to a superhero movie as you can get during the day, so give it a go. I've seen so many Friends episodes.
John?
Powder's a nice departure.
Thoughts?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no.
You can talk about Powder if you
I'm just mad there are no ads in this.
That's it for the stack! All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
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 All right, Boothman, let's get that first question.
Hey, I'll throw it at you.
Awesome.
John.
Yes.
Will they ever make an Archer comic series? And this is from Ernie in Cleveland.
Ernie.
Is he here? Or you get... Oh, you... Oh, okay.
He's not in Cleveland.
Oh, right.
You're from it. Cool.
That's a good way to do it. Where did you move after Cleveland?
Oh, that's strange.
So you're
the weirdest answer you could have said.
Are you in a K-hole? Okay. yeah. All right. It would be a good thing to do. I did do this cartoon, this animated show on Comedy Central a long time ago, which was very unsuccessful, called Freak Show. And we simultaneously made a comic book along with the show. Both failed. But no, I don't want your sympathy. A little bit. Thank you.
thank you. That's enough.
So it would be. It's a good idea considering Archer is really popular.
Do you know anyone at the Archer show? You could. You know, is it? Do you know any of the guys over there?
I've never met anyone.
Charles fishing for work.
You know,
fishing for work.
Every comic book writer is always fishing for work. It's the way it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Jordan. By the way.
He's talking to Michael
Shout
Jordan.
Is yes,
exactly.
Jordan jams in your face. Gonna put bad guys
Space
in their place.
Jams.
Well, let's get the next question, please.
This is from someone from somewhere.
Ooh.
What would your non-traditional superpower be? I'm a fan of inflicting crippling guilt on someone.
Wow.
Wow.
Someone.
Someone.
Non-traditional.
Someone's power. Jewish.
It's a regular power.
No.
A non-traditional superpower, so like a shitty power? Or is that the idea?
I know mine.
Shitty.
Huh? Yeah, what's yours?
Albinism.
Well. You inflict it on people?
No. I would become one.
Oh, okay.
Would
you have the power to become one
part of
the time?
Yeah. No, whenever I wanted. All the time. Anytime I wanted to, like, kind of weird people out with my weird pink eyes, I would just
do it. Are there any albinos here? Because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you for saying
we're not.
It's messed up.
Oh, do we keep them out of the shows?
It says that. There's a sign outside.
No albinos.
Wow.
But they can't read it.
That's not true. Albinos can read.
I think I know a little something about that.
What's your non-traditional superpower?
Are we going for a negative one or a positive one?
I
guess I'd like not to sleep ever.
What?
Really?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Cool. What are you talking about?
Have you been having bad dreams, Alex?
I don't want to be scared anymore.
I've been having bad dreams.
Sleeping's awesome.
No, it sucks.
Only when you're tired.
I could be doing all this other stuff. I could be doing another comic book club show in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
no, it's the one minute you get to like put everything aside and not worry about everything.
Exactly.
Sleeping's awesome.
Laying down.
I'm sorry, I didn't criticize.
I like that one.
I support your albino superpower. I think you could support my no sleeping superpower.
I like that one.
Here's the thing. I just work on my sleep.
I can't do it. I'm going to be true to myself. I do not think that's a solid superpower. Sorry.
Wow.
Wow.
Really getting some heat from Charles on that answer.
What about you guys? John, do you have one?
I guess I would like to have an inordinately powerful sneeze. like a guy with like really bad allergies.
Yeah.
And I could use that to kill people.
When they develop that character in the movie, the tagline could be, "Bless you."
Oh. Yes.
Honda Civic.
Yeah. Sponsored by Honda Civic.
Justin, Pete, you got one? Together?
Our joint. We're going to be shitty Wonder Twins.
What you'd be able to do is you'd be able to knock fists and turn into each other.
Each other, yeah.
That would be the worst.
Yeah.
That would be my nightmare. I would never sleep again after that.
No, that's
you should get my power then.
Power.
Yeah. All right, let's get the next question.
Power of goatee.
So we got some questions from Twitter.
Oh, great. I love Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
Tweeting.
So this one is from Orlando in New York. What would make you want to read before Watchmen other than Alan Moore doing it?
Interesting. So Before Watchmen is a prequel to the Watchmen comic.
Yeah, there's eight miniseries that they're doing.
A couple of them. There's some of them are in the other.
Yeah,
one.
That each focus on each of the characters in Watchmen, and DC is releasing them starting in June. It's been pretty controversial because Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, who originally did the series, not involved in these new series. So what do you guys think? Charles, as a comic book reader, are you going to be picking up Before Watchmen?
I'm not that interested in it. I feel like Watchmen was a sort of – it didn't need to – I'm not. I just feel like it's kind of a money grab, and I respect a lot of the creators involved, and I really think some of the books might be good, but I have other places to put my cash.
Like where? Like a bank?
No, it's just I'm just not that interested in telling more stories in that – or reading more stories in that universe. That's all.
John, what about you?
I'm going to not watch the new Dallas.
I know, there's been so much controversy surrounding that.
As a commentary about Watchmen.
Yeah, well, And the creator of the original Dallas definitely took his name off the new Dallas, if I remember correctly.
But I think Alan Moore is writing Dallas now.
Yeah, he is. Alan Moore is writing Dallas.
The new Dallas.
He wrote that poster with all of them in towel in the same shower together. Did you guys see that? It's
crazy.
Disgusting. Yeah.
What about you guys? I think we've talked about before Watchmen a couple of times on the show.
I mean, there's a lot of amazing talent working on the project, so that intrigues me. But it does feel weird. I mean, originally I would say if someone was holding a gun to my head, I would buy it or read it. But other
if somebody
than
was holding a gun to my happen? Head, I would buy anything.
Really?
Anything?
Literally anything.
Oh, I just
Scarlet Spider.
I'm halfway through my waiting period to get my gun, so I'm gonna get it right up to your head and see what we can get out of him.
Great.
Wow, you're doing it legal, huh?
Yeah, straight up.
Not the way to do it.
No. No.
That's weird.
Justin, what about you? Before Watchmen?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It's a comic coming out.
That's true.
We do like comics.
We do like comic books.
We do a show about comics.
That pretty much is the reason everyone will buy it. It's a comic coming out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think, like, is it going to tank? No. Like, I'm interested in, like,
it'll tank in issue 3, I think. Issue 1 and 2 will be huge, but after that, I think it'll start to.
So, like, literally every comic book, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's
wow.
Sad.
What a dooming portend you've dropped on us.
Next question.
So, last question is from Dr. Nick from Chicago.
Great ref.
Not a real doctor.
And the question is, would you rather ban all comic book movies or only have poorly executed versions like Green Lantern, all of the Punisher movies?
Oh, man.
Personal attack.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a personal
attack.
So,
choice is to either ban...
So, nothing or shitty.
Exactly.
Basically.
Nothing or shitty.
What an outlook that man has.
I'm going with shitty.
Yeah?
Always choosing shitty. I'm going to choose shitty as well. Even if you didn't... Even at Green Lantern... Did everyone see Green Lantern? Who's here? Yeah. Oh, just moans. Moans in the
crowd. Stop vomiting.
Most of
the
audience is zombies.
Even though that movie was terrible and a lot of it was... Like, there was... Like, when he punches those guys with the green construct, that was cool.
Come on,
dude. That was cool.
That's the end of the movie. Hal Jordan in space using two green jets to hold himself back while he punches a gigantic tentacle monster into the sun? That's fun.
I can't get behind that.
Yeah, that
no?
was fun.
Okay, never mind.
So, yeah, let's see.
I thought we had a thing here, but I
want shittier. Like, let's show Generation X, the TV movie in the theater. You guys love that. Let's put that up there. Like, sometimes that's fine.
Yeah. What about you guys? Any thoughts?
I always err on the side of ban. I think, yeah, ban.
Ban.
Yeah. Because then at least there'll be a backlash and, you know.
Oh, yeah. You want to play the social.
I'm playing, yeah.
You're playing everybody against each other?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Charles?
A long time ago, I...
In the galaxy far away?
I was maybe, I'd say I was 12 or 13 or something like that, and I watched the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is no great shakes. Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess, but there was a naked lady in it.
Nice.
And so the thing about terrible movies is that sometimes they have some things to redeem them. And I don't want to deprive, you know, my 12 or 13-year-old self or other 12 or 13-year-old folks out there from treats like that. So I would err on the side of shit.
So your point is you can always jerk off to any comic book movie.
Not
so,
any.
Like, why would you, huh?
Not any, hopefully.
Any.
I can.
But there are... Yeah.
Did you guys see The Incredibles?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Oh, you're a monster.
Yeah,
you're a monster. You're a monster.
These cameras are on.
What?
That's recorded. That's
how long? Be, for how long?
But I don't know.
Not
much longer.
Hopefully not when I was saying that stuff about albinism.
No.
They haven't made a Submariner movie yet. I don't know. I was just thinking about jerking off.
So that's what you're waiting for. That's the magic bullet. Well, they're just waiting for a scaled Speedo. Yeah. They have the crews there. They've cast the role.
Yeah. You should use your Archer money to commission a scaled Speedo.
I'm saving myself to jerk off to the Submariner movie. And I will not jerk off until it comes out.
You've never jerked off.
I promise.
Wow.
I have, but I'm saying from this point forward.
From today. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Again.
It's your line in the sand.
That's a
until
big...
a Submariner movie comes out.
That's
no
a good
more.
Goal.
Yeah. It's a great.
No.
Good luck with that for you. Good
for you. It's a ban on masturbation you just put.
That's great. I think, why don't we all agree to that?
No way.
So, all right, I think that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
That was the most honest response I've ever seen out of you.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. With the Week in Geek, we talk about some geek culture topics, other things happening in the world of geek other than specifically comic books, so let's get into it. First thing to talk about, we touched on this a little bit last week, but ABC announced earlier today that they are semi-committing themselves to doing a Hulk TV series possibly in 2013.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
so last week we were a little...
possibly excited about that then.
Yeah. But they negged Alias. What'd they call it? A.K.A. Jessica
AKA
Jones.
A.K.A. Jessica Jones. And Fox said no to the Punisher series.
What?
But this was the Punisher series where the Punisher was a vigilante working at night while during the day trying to balance his home life with his family or something like that.
Oh, man. So it's not the Punisher.
It was like Modern Family Punisher.
Oh, okay.
Which I would have loved.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Get that Ty Burrell with a gun in his hand. That's a magic.
So my question now that it almost definitely is moving forward to TV series, what do you want to see out of a Hulk TV series, a new one?
I never want him to turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
Nope, not till like season 6.
I want that to be the mystery.
To build.
I never want to see him as Bruce Banner.
Nope. Oh, no, okay.
So you want the Smallville approach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like Smallville, if possible.
Great.
Like,
and then real, 10 years down the road,
like
he starts to turn green, and then they just cut to credits.
Yeah, and then they're like, thank you for watching, you idiots. Yeah, all the costumes should be bought from, like, Halloween Adventure or Ricky's.
Right.
And they shoot on, like, Betamax cameras. Right.
Love it.
The actors are, like, all go to school together, and they're like, let's just put on a show. And then the network's like, okay.
I don't think you know how TV works.
Well, let me do my executive again. Okay, you want.
You do. Executive, what do you guys want to see out of a Hulk TV series?
A new color, I think. Right? Like, yellow. Like he turns yellow.
Yeah. Well,
either that or a scaled Speedo.
Yeah.
There's a Submariner.
He turns into the mayor, to Namor.
Yeah.
Right.
Or he can swim. And he's thinner.
He's thinner. You want a thinner Hulk?
Yeah.
I'm sick of fat Hulk.
More, yeah.
One of the things I always kind of liked about the Hulk is how he gets around. He does these huge hops of like 20 miles. He'll just jump. And so I would like to see Bruce Banner, you know, he needs to commute somewhere, and so he'll just like piss himself off and then just jump, you know, instead of taking the subway or whatever. That's how he gets around.
So a more logistic Hulk.
Yeah, I want to see the transportation end up being the Hulk.
Yeah, I know. Let's get down to like how does MTA fit in here? Like, how does Hulk do his taxes?
Where does he hold his MetroCard?
Yeah, where does he put his MetroCard in?
Then people can ride the Hulk.
Yeah,
to work.
Yeah. He charges people to ride him.
Yeah,
right. You can get
Bruce
six people on the Hulk.
Where
to go to work.
Where you go? 23rd Street. Not on my way.
It sounds like really Jewish when you do it.
And also,
is Yiddish?
Yeah, Yiddish. Hulk. Yeah. The anyway, Brooklyn Bridge, I don't think so. I'll take you
that's
over Manhattan.
Huh? That's definitely a caveman.
Oh, yeah. Let's draw the line between the caveman and Hulk as a voice impression.
Yeah. It was really good, though, and good luck on your audition.
Thank you.
Other things to talk about. Idris Elba, who plays Heimdall in Thor, was talking a little bit about Thor 2. He said he definitely will be back for Thor 2.
Oh, good. I'm so Heimdall crazy. That dude runs the bridge. He should be in our MTA Hulk show.
Well, I don't.
It's awesome.
Boom.
What do you guys want to see him do in a second movie other than look at stuff and watch a bridge?
I want to hear him like take a toll from some people, like get some money out of people. People taking the Rainbow Bridge, listen to his iPod, stuff like that.
Pete? I would like to see him fight and kill people.
Ask Pete about anyone ever that you've ever seen.
What would you like Sif to do in Thor?
Kill people.
Great. No what fun. About a Power Pack movie? What would you want them to do?
A lot of math.
Gotcha. Yeah, woo.
What do you guys want to see? Did you see Thor?
I did see Thor. Did you see Thor?
I didn't see Thor. I did like Thor, though. That was another one I liked.
No,
yeah? Yeah.
Thor's great.
It was mostly about
Still a little heavy set, muscular for me. Submariner is more my body type, but I liked Thor a lot.
You have a real fetish for the torso.
I like wings. Didn't Thor
he has wings?
And Submariner had wings on his
Tiny wings.
I like Flash too. I like wings a lot.
Like Submariner's feet.
Yeah,
it's a weird sexual fetish.
Yeah,
how does that translate to the? I'll ask you off stage.
I don't think like
there's a
wings.
Little set of wings on my dick.
Yeah. I knew it. You know, I knew it. You can hear it in your voice. I think it affects your voice.
Yeah, that's why it's difficult to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charles?
I was going to make a Red Bull joke, but I guess I won't. Yeah. What was the question? I completely forgot anything we were talking about.
Where is your tiny set of wings? Be honest, because we're going to check.
I'm still trying to grow them. Someday when I grow up, they'll grow. So Thor 2, something about Thor 2?
Yeah, let's not worry about it.
All right.
Here's the thing. Well, to actually answer the question, if Heimdall's in it, that means it's going to be set on Asgard.
Yes.
Which is like, really, do we want to see more of that?
Well, at least they'll start there. I actually thought he was really, I liked him in Thor.
Me too.
I thought he was one of the more fun parts of Thor.
Heimdall?
Yeah. That whole thing where he's encased in ice and he's slowly breaking out of the ice with his own strength. And
I know. I love that 4 seconds of Thor when he broke out of that ice.
I did love that.
That was very, isolated.
Oh, we have...
Not a pun. That was not a pun. I didn't mean to say that. I wasn't making that pun.
Boo this man.
Boo. You're losing the show. All right. Next little bit. Joss Whedon was talking a little bit about Avengers 2, which is coming up at some point. One of the things that he was saying he would like to put in a Avengers 2 is more female characters, and specifically more female characters on the team. So who would you like to see on the team in Avengers 2?
They're going to be Wasp. I mean, Wasp is an original.
Sure.
Wasp, yeah. What's that? Storm?
Storm?
Sure.
She's sort of in the X-Men territory, but...
Yeah, they can't really do it because...
You got that guy in Thor. Just relax.
Yeah.
And there was clearly no reason to have that guy be black, right?
No.
In Thor?
I mean, no.
Yeah, come on. So let's take it easy.
Yeah,
what?
Progress is glacial.
It's very slow. It's very slow. It's really funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Charles, who would you want to see lady-wise?
You know, Scarlet Witch makes sense. I'd like to see Jessica Jones. I think that'd be kind of cool. She fits. I don't know.
No, but who here is excited? We could all name women. Like, who are you excited? Who are you excited about seeing? Is there? Because I feel like those characters, like Scarlet Witch, like her powers are just like
they're too ill-defined.
It's
right?
Just like
you can do anything you want.
She can do anything. Yeah.
Tigra, I guess.
Tigra.
Now that's the answer everyone wants to hear.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I'd actually like to see Miss Marvel. I feel like that could probably fit. What?
What does that? What does that mean?
No, that's a fair point. He made a fair point.
Yeah. What don't you like about her?
Again, ill-defined, super strong, whatever.
She flies, super strong, and she shoots contrivance beams out of her hand, which is awesome.
But they are building up the cosmic side of the universe. They're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy, other stuff like that. She ties into that. So it feels like it's something that could feed into Avengers 2.
I suppose.
I'm sorry?
No, it's fine. We all are entitled to our own opinions, I suppose. I suppose.
Ooh, right. This guy.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing. When Joss Whedon's asked, like, what's going to happen in Avengers 2, is he like, oh, geez, I don't know. I just finished making this movie. Why do you want me to tell
Get
you what the next...
Back.
Yeah. I think that's crazy. They're like, tell us the story of Avengers 2. And it's like, yo, it's going to be 4 years before that movie comes out or something. Yeah.
I think if we ever have him on the show, we should ask him about Avengers 3.
Yeah, really pull the trigger. And he'd be like, that's the one I've always wanted to make.
All right, last little bit to talk about. We were talking about Before Watchmen a little bit earlier.
Is
another thing about Watchmen, another big piece of news with Watchmen. DC, through Dynamic Forces, is going to be releasing a Watchmen toaster.
No, that's too far. That's not written. Alan Moore would not want a toaster.
Alan Moore eats toast.
No. He doesn't anymore.
Oh, he
but
used
that's
to.
The thing.
He'll eat bread and he'll put his face up against heat, but he won't eat toast.
That's it for the week, Geek. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Hey, Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. That's right, in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. How this is going to work, you volunteer yourself, you come up on stage, you answer three questions, you go three for three, you win $25 free. Who would like a chance to win 25? Yes, first hand up guy. Woo! Come on up.
Yep.
All right. All right, so what is your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew, audience, Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew. So today's trivia is on Archer. For nice. No reason. All right, so you had your chance, but you didn't raise your hand. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers, then you pick. All right, here we go. Question number one. Thank you. Who appeared as himself in an episode of Archer? Is it A, Ron Perlman, B, Burt Reynolds, or C, Pizza the Hut? So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B, Burt Reynolds.
I think I'll go with B.
B is correct.
Nice.
Question two. Archer, the show, has won an award. What did it win? Is it A, the award of best show you're not watching, B, best animated show, or C, best little whorehouse in Texas? So it's either A, which they actually did win, best show you're not watching, or it's B, best animated show. A is correct.
Nice. Very earnest.
Here we go. Last one. Focus up. Who is not a character on Archer? Is it A, Woodhouse, B, Rip Riley, or C, the Get-Along Gang? C would be the correct answer if you're really thinking about this.
I don't remember seeing them in it, so I'll go with C.
C is correct. Yes. You've won $25 gift cards. Congratulations, Andrew. Give it up for him.
I've never
seen so much. Be careful. There you go.
Whoa, no stairs for this guy.
And for you guys watching at home, we are up for Best Little Whorehouse in Texas this year.
Yeah.
So if you guys would vote for us, that would be really great. I'm really pulling for
us. I've never heard anyone say the Get-Along Gang so seriously. That was epic. That was dark.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I am looking forward to Saga, Brian K. Vaughan's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you like about that book?
It's an amazing world that he's created. It's very kind of cool, and I don't know if these two are going to make it, but hopefully they do.
It's true.
Yeah, Justin, what about you?
I don't know if they're going to make it, but let's hope they do. I'm looking forward to Lock and Key Clockworks number 6.
Absolutely.
I love when I get him.
I said before the show.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Not to me.
Yeah, not to him. Jesus. You told me. You're like, I call dibs on Lock and Key.
See, don't talk to Pete. It's Lock and Key, great book. Alex, what's yours?
I was talking to Pete, and I thought I was talking to you.
It happens all the time. Wonder Twins.
No.
I'm going to keep saying until you do it.
You know what? I'm looking forward to Hardcore number 1 is coming out from Image Comics.
You just made that up. That's made up.
I'm looking for Flurgle Nerve.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Extreme Comics.
Say Scout. That's an amazing set.
No, Hardcore number 1 is a real comic book.
Bullshit.
From Image Comics.
Hardcore number 1.
Isn't Kirkman doing it? It's Kirkman and Silvestri.
I'm sorry. There are comic books coming out tomorrow called, from Image, Hardcore, Hell Yeah, and Dancer.
I'm surprised you didn't say Dancer.
I'm getting Dancer.
And Glory. All right, so lay off. But Hardcore is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a fun concept. It's been promised to come out for years. The idea is this guy who's a secret agent, he can jump into other people's bodies and use them to assassinate his targets.
That's hardcore. That's so hardcore.
Yo, that's hardcore. I can't read that. That's hardcore.
Charles, what are you looking forward to?
She called body
lock
jumping.
And key, if someone hadn't stolen it. I'm the guest, right?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so I'll lock and key.
It's amazing.
Very excited.
Series.
That series is one of my favorite in years. I get the same feeling about it that I did about like Why the Last Man or Preacher or one of those like amazing. You know.
It's such an amazing series. One little thing, they had this guy who played a doctor and was so ridiculous. I was like, I don't believe this scientist guy. Yeah. It was really weird. Nobody gets that.
That was me. The point, the beat's making.
All right. So lock and key. But also, I've really been enjoying the Garth Ennis Fury series. And I think the next issue that comes out tomorrow. So that just anytime Garth Ennis does anything, just about I'm on board, and nice to see him doing a Marvel character again.
Great. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
27 second set. The trade paperback is out on May 23rd. Please buy it. It's a phenomenal book. It's a great story. And then you've got Strange Attractors coming in the fall. Also great.
Yeah. Cool. Woo. John, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Black Submariner. it's a black. It's a
real.
It's really. I think we can bond over this. it's a black submariner. Actually, it's really literal. You know, as a huge Submariner fan, and I'm looking forward to seeing the changes and how he deals with things.
Can you give us any spoilers for the series coming up? anything that we might want to
specific undersea issues that Black Submariner deals with?
Yeah. I think there's very few.
I got that joke.
There's what? What was it?
She just said seaweed.
Seaweed. Oh.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
And John, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
You should check out the Olsen Twins movie, New York Minute. It is.
I've seen your reel. It's just that scene over and over again.
It starts and ends it.
Yeah. I have to cap it that way.
Right. But check it out. Seriously, guys, they need all the help you can give them.
All right, guys, couple of things before we go. First thing, unfortunately, this is our last show here at Pianos for the Nerdist channel.
It's true.
We're not stopping doing the show. We'll have news on that in a second. But this is our last show here, so we did want to thank Pianos. We did want to thank everybody at Broadway Video and everybody at the crew. Could you guys give them a round of applause? They've been amazing.
So nice.
And fantastic. But we are still going to be doing the show. You should definitely check it out and other things on the Nerdist channel. Next week on the show, we are going to have Claudio Sanchez is going to be here talking about his book, Key of Z, and a bunch of other stuff.
He's from Coheed and Cambria, the band as well.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a great guy. We've had him on a bunch of times before, and he's awesome. We're going to have news on where that show will be over at comicbookclublive.com, so check that out. Pete, what should people check out else?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live to find out where we're going to be doing it specifically.
Yep, and you can check out the audio podcast on Nerdist.com and ComicBookClubLive.com. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Charles for being on the show. John!
Yeah.
Boothman! But most of all, we want to thank you guys, Broadway Video, Nerdist, Pianos, Comics, and everybody else. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you, guys.